And welcome into a new episode of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Thanks for joining us. Well, Kansas Senator Roger Marshall over the weekend suggested Congress should wait until a Republican-led Senate to create the next farm bill. The Kansas Republican told the Hagstrom Report Congress may need to pass another one-year extension instead, then write the next bill once Republicans take over the Senate, if they take over the Senate. Marshall made the comments on the sidelines of the Commodities Futures Trading Commission's 2024 Agricultural Commodity Futures Conference. Marshall says, quote, "I think we will have a better farm bill for the farmer if we have a Republican majority in the Senate and a Republican president in the White House," end quote. In that scenario, Marshall claims the farm bill will be better for the farmer. Democrats are resistant to nutrition and climate-related conservation cuts to fund crop insurance programs. However, Marshall claims there must be cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program because, quote, "there are healthy adult men who have not worked for years," end quote, receiving benefits. Well, House Ag Chair G.T. Thompson's not giving up on a 2024 farm bill, and that's raised cautious hope at the American Farm Bureau Federation. AFBF Government Affairs Director Joe Gilson says Farm Bureau appreciates Thompson's latest vow to move a farm bill out of committee by Memorial Day, but is also realistic.
In 2018, it took 7 or 8 months from introduction until final passage. So we're under no illusion that this bill is going to be introduced and passed overnight, but this is the essential first domino that has to fall in order for us to get the five-year farm bill reauthorized.
But Thompson is still in talks with Ag Democrats on how to boost farm safety net funding, his top priority. Restricting the Secretary's Commodity Credit Corporation use is one idea, and Thompson mentioned others earlier.
The repurposing of the Inflation Reduction Act dollars, as well as a strengthening of Congress's Article I authority through a forward-thinking, thrifty food plan framework, among others.
Both of which face Democratic pushback, either for undercutting President Biden's signature IRA or jeopardizing future SNAP support levels, already very controversial. Meantime, a wide chasm remains in the Senate, where GOP ag leaders proposed boosting support for higher crop insurance levels, but not at the expense of improving reference price subsidy triggers. And Ag Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa had this on Majority Leader Chuck Schumer's issue priority list for coming weeks.
Notably missing from Schumer's agenda was the farm bill, just like Americans don't eat. As you know, the farm bill authorizes the work of the Department of Agriculture. This work touches every American at least 3 times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
But barring an elusive committee deal, there's nothing to put on the Senate floor. And if Congress must extend the 2018 farm bill for another year after the current one-year extension expires September 30th, Grassley complains the old bill will be 7 years old and well outdated by next year. Exports of U.S. pork continued their robust growth in the first 2 months of 2024, according to recently released data by the U.S. Departments of Agriculture and Commerce. They increased 10% in volume to 502,585 metric tons and 10% in value to $1.37 billion over the same period last year. As it was for all of 2023, Mexico was the top destination for U.S. pork in January and February, totaling 196,452 metric tons worth nearly $397 million, up 12% and 15% respectively from the same time in 2023. The Fertilizer Institute Monday released new data highlighting industry improvement in sustainability performance of workforce safety, energy and the environment, fertilizer use, and industry innovation. TFI has collected data since 2013 on metrics that provide insight into the industry's sustainability efforts. The data announced Monday was gathered in 2023 and reflects industry operations in 2022. Participating members reported a total of 25 zero-discharge facilities at which all wastewater is recycled. Farmers in the U.S. have a nitrogen use efficiency of 70%, which is much higher than the world average of 55%. The 2023 4R advocates had an average of 100% nitrogen use efficiency. TFI President and CEO Corey Rosenbusch says, quote, "Each step of the supply chain is focused on doing more with fewer resources while limiting impacts on communities and the environment," end quote. The data includes metrics on segments of the fertilizer industry, including fertilizer use on farms, worker safety, energy and environment, and industry innovation. Well, new data released this month from the EPA shows agriculture decreased its greenhouse gas emissions in 2022. The EPA recently released the inventory of U.S. greenhouse gas emissions and sinks 1990 through 2022. American Farm Bureau Federation economist Danny Munch explains the results.
Overall, greenhouse gas emissions from all sources increased by 1.3% between 2021 and 2022, though agricultural emissions dropped 1.8%, and that's the largest decrease of any economic sector.
2022 marks the lowest U.S. agricultural greenhouse gas emissions since 2012. The EPA categorizes agricultural emissions by crop cultivation, livestock, and fuel combustion that occurs in the industry.
Crop cultivation emissions were down 6 million metric tons from 2021. When we look at livestock, they were down 2.1% or 6 million metric tons from 2021. Emissions from fuel combustion in ag were down 1 million metric tons or 1.2%.
The data also shows the productivity gains in agriculture.
While the U.S. population has grown by over 80 million since 1990, per capita agricultural emissions have dropped 20%. And when you adjust that for total productivity gains, it dropped to 25% over the 20-year period.
You can learn more on the market intel page at fb.org. As we continue to watch South American growing conditions, Dr. Michael Cordonier of Soybean and Corn Advisor says Brazil's corn projections recently dropped because of dry weather.
CONAB, they did trim the soybeans a little bit, 0.3 million tons to 146.5, but they did take a big bite out of the corn. They lowered it 1.8 million to 111 million tons. And for the corn, it all came from the Safrinha crop. They lowered the yield about 2 bushels per acre. I would say 30 to 40% of the Safrinha corn in the southern areas need rain. They've gotten a little bit, they need a lot more, so that's going to be an ongoing concern, I think, for the Safrinha crop in Brazil. The soybeans are about 85% harvested, so we're getting pretty close to being done.
And there's a significant difference in South American harvest predictions as well.
USDA has much higher estimates than CONAB in Brazil. I guess USDA has a bigger acreage than CONAB does for soybeans and for corn in Brazil, which is kind of a dilemma. They both say they use satellite technology to estimate the acreage, and people on the ground, especially for CONAB, to estimate the acreage, but the acreage numbers are way different, so I'm not quite sure who to believe.
And Dr. Cordonier predicts the soybean crop will be 5 to 6 million tons larger than last year, but corn production will be much lower than in 2023. Meantime, U.S. crop progress showed that corn 6% planted as of Sunday, soybeans 3% planted, and spring wheat was 7% planted as of Sunday. Meantime, winter wheat condition dropped 1 point to 55% good to excellent in the latest crop progress report. That's going to do it for this episode of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. I'm Jesse Allen, wishing you a great rest of your day.